Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
For a hole in one, they've knocked it out of the park. While America's children, they fight for our freedom. Mr. Harris taught me about God. Quarterbacks throw bombs, there's cash in their arms. OJ was set up for life. While the Red Cross had to help Salvation Army find the victims of Katrina that died. They kick them, they bounce them, they hit them, they miss them. They're making more money than God. While the men and the women, they're teaching our children, barely just make enough to pay for the shoe.
And that's a bit of a song from my guest, Garrett Walker. He's here to talk about his music career, songwriting, performing, and he's got a few songs that he's going to share with us. Garrett's mom and dad were both singers and musicians. When he was a very young child, they'd often take him to gigs with them, and he'd hang out in the back room, breathing in the music just like air. And that's why there's no doubt that his music comes from his heart and soul. And we got lots to talk about and lots of great music to share as I welcome Garrett Walker to the show. Hey, Garrett.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, man? Hey, everybody.
Big shout out to everybody. I'm doing great, and it's so good to talk to you again. We've stayed in touch online, but we've known each other for 5 or 6 years, I think, starting off way back in the good old days of MySpace.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's been like 7 or 8 years, I think, something like that.
You could
but yeah,
be right.
It's been a while, man. It's been a while.
It has, and it's so great that you're on the show because we got lots to talk about, and we got three great songs to share and a little more of the song we opened up with. Part of that we're going to share as well, and we're going to talk about all these songs. It's so great to have you here, Garrett. Now, you, of course, live in Nashville, so let's start with that. And were you born and raised in Nashville?
Not at all. I was born in Topeka, Kansas. I know I'm not in Kansas anymore. And but I was primarily raised in Kansas City, Missouri. And Charlie Daniels had a TV show back in 95 called the Charlie Daniels Talent Roundup. It used to be called You Can Be a Star.
Right.
And I auditioned for that, You Can Be a Star, and I was put on hold. It got canceled. And then it was Be a Star. Then I was asked to play on that before I was to play. It got canceled. Charlie Daniels called me on the phone when I moved to Topeka, back to Topeka, and asked me if I would do the show. And so that's when I came to do the show. I won the weekly. I didn't win the whole thing, but it was a talent roundup type of thing, and $50,000. But I won the weekly. And he told me, he goes, I don't know what you're doing in Topeka, Kansas, but you're as good, if not better, than a lot of people that are here that have made it. And I'd welcome it if you moved here. So I packed up and went back. I didn't pack up to go, but I mean, I just got back in my car, went back to Topeka, and quit my job and cashed in and came back. And it's been a ride ever since. It's been one heck of a ride, but I love my life.
Wow, yeah, if you get that kind of suggestion from somebody like Charlie Daniels, it's pretty hard to ignore. So I can definitely see why that led you to Nashville to chase this music dream.
Well, you know, I actually opened up one time for Mighty Merle Haggard and a place called Patty's Place in Columbia, Missouri. And he told me that the day would come when he would open up for me, and I thought, whatever. But the point was, I mean, it was like, no way, guy. But, you know, just Mighty Morrow is the man. But nevertheless, he gave me a great compliment, and he told me that I really should, you know, stay in the writing business, and or the, in the music business. So, you know, Charlie Daniels and Merle Haggard saying that, you can't ignore it.
You can't ignore it. You're right. Well, we're going to get to the songwriting and get into a song in a few moments, but I want to go back. And, Garrett, how vivid are the memories when you talk about your mom and dad, and they were singers and musicians, and you were very young when they take you to gigs, so you were absorbing this, the music. You were in that environment. Can you recall just how that felt back then and what an influence it had on you?
You know, it's like little children. My son was born with birth defects. And this, there's a very much of a relevance here. And he had to have casts on both arms. And he had to, a children, all they know is what they know. And they say that we're all born sinners, and that's not the truth. We're not all born sinners. We just grow up, and we're conformed. And the point being is, as a child, that's all that I knew. Every Monday, we had show and tell at school. And I would always show up. The people from Hee Haw would come to our town, to Topeka, and my mom and dad's band would open up for them. And that's all I knew, was seeing Buck Owens and Buck Trent and the Hagers and Susan Ray at my kitchen table, putting their hair up in curlers, and Jeannie C. Riley, and on. That's all that I knew. So I didn't know, you know, I didn't know that anybody else lived differently. So
right.
I was, you know, looking back, I'm just so blessed. I'm almost I really didn't care for country music, you know, at first, but everything I sang and wrote came out country, and so I couldn't deny it. And I'm almost a country music encyclopedia, almost to Eddie Stubbs. A ways away. But nevertheless, that's all that I ever knew, and I love it because country music is real. A lot of it is, especially traditional country. The country today is,
yeah.
I have my views on that. I'm not, but, you know, everything, country music, like anything else, there's a transformation as time goes on. You know, Hank Jr. and Alabama, they weren't like Hank Sr. and Roy Acuff, who wasn't like Bob Wills.
That's right.
So it just goes on and on, you know. And this is, you know, the country music that we have today, it seems more pop-oriented, and I truly believe that it is. But it's reaching a larger crowd. And, you know, it's sad that it seems like the mothers and fathers and the grandfathers and grandmothers have been forgotten. Because there's not much country music out there as we, you know, as you know, back in the you know, 80s and 90s, and that's all that I know. I mean, born in the 70s, I know that, you know, that kind of music. I mean, we don't have that much anymore of that kind of music. Very, very rarely do you hear that kind of music. But I respect Nashville. Meaning, I respect country music, and when I write, I respect country music, and I write traditional. And because if it wasn't for them, there wouldn't be us. So
yep.
that's how I feel. About
yeah.
It.
No, that's I love the way you expressed that, Garrett. That was wonderful. And you do write traditional and sing it. And you're talking about the people like George Jones and Merle Haggard, who you mentioned earlier, and Charlie Pride, Johnny Cash, artists of that era who, you know, still resonate today. Of course, people still listen, whether they hear it on the radio or not. Of course, you can still find that music. But you love those classic artists and those classic songs, don't you?
Absolutely. Every single morning, the first thing I do is put on my headphones, and then, I mean, every single morning, and listen to Bill Cody on WSM, 650 AM, and they're barely, you know, they're 99% traditional country. And that's what I feed off of. you know, I like Lady Antebellum and Rascal Flatts, and I like Taylor Swift. I wrote a song called Taylor Swift. I mean, it's, and I'm hoping that, Tim will sing it. But nevertheless, the point being, I really respect country music and where it came from. There's so many that come here that have no idea who Hank Snow is, or Hank Laughlin, or, you know, even T.G. Shepherd and Earl Thomas Conley. They don't know those guys.
Yeah.
And that's yep. sad to see. It really is sad to see that. But nevertheless, yeah, I like traditional country. And I have a lot of songs that aren't very traditional, but they're not the ones that I enjoy writing, let alone singing. I like good old country music that has something to say.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're going to get to several of those songs. We're going to start off, Garrett, with Leave My Guitar Alone. It's one of those titles that grabs your attention and you wonder what's happening in it. Tell us about the writing of this song before we share it.
You know, that actually happened when I heard a Tim McGraw song by the name of Christopherson. The premise of that
right.
song was that this man woke up and his woman was gone. Well, to get her back, his ploy was going to be to write her a song like Christopherson did, if that's possible. And I thought, I've written a box set of those, so maybe I ought to leave my guitar alone. And that's how it came about. I loved writing it. It was so much fun to write. And when I play it, I enjoy myself even more. I love that song. It hasn't gotten any attention yet, and it's really not being pushed, but that's one of my favorite songs to play, and one of my favorite songs that I wrote. But
well,
I'm the writer, so I'm
kind
of biased. Okay.
Yeah.
The guitar player on there is Mark Snelly from Lady Antebellum, and everybody's top notch mm-hmm. players. I'm very, very blessed to have those guys play on this track.
Well, that's great. Let's listen to it. We have lots more to talk about with you, Garrett, and we'll come back and do that. Right now, Garrett Walker, Leave My Guitar Alone on In the Country.
I woke up, she was gone. This time I knew that I was wrong. After closing down. Guitar alone. I got to get down on my knees, say a prayer, beg him please, let her know that my mistake ain't as bad as it seems, let her know I feel her pain, that it cuts right to the bone. Guitar alone. I told her, girl, I swear to God, who she was, I'll never know. I couldn't have done what you're thinking. Hell, I drank too much alcohol. It don't matter, I was wrong. That's what I texted her on the phone. Guitar alone. I got to get down on my knees, say a prayer, beg him please, let her know that my mistake ain't as bad as it seems, let her know I feel her pain, that it cuts right to the bone. I won't even try to write, I swear that I guitar alone.
What a great song and undeniably country from my guest, Garrett Walker, on the line from Nashville. That is called Leave My Guitar Alone. Man, that is a fun song, Garrett.
It really is. I have a blast. Like I said, I have a blast doing that song. And there's so many, there's quite a few people that have heard it that it's their favorite song. And so, and I get requests quite often when I go out and play. But yeah, it's a fun song. It's a fun song. And it's really serious, you know. I mean, the guy really wants her back. And,
right.
You know, he just thinks that all he's got to do is write a song. Well, no, not this time. So, anyway.
Well, have you ever written a song, Garrett? I'm sure the answer is yes, to win somebody back. And has it worked?
It wasn't my purpose to write the song to win them back, because I think in a large scheme of things, songs really aren't that. I don't think they should be used that way. But I have, you know, in the pain of, you know, me leaving some, or just being without somebody that you've been with for a while. And to, you know, if I've made the silly decision to leave them, and then, you know, there's oftentimes, you know, I mean, we all reminisce. And I also think of how they feel. And sometimes, you know, we, majority of us writers will write from how we feel, but I think it's best to write how others feel and try to, because, you know, we're not, I'm not that special. I'm no different than anybody else. And so nobody else is that different from me to where we all have these kind of feelings. So in saying that, yeah, you know, I write songs that, you know, from somebody else's point of view to where, and what happens is a lot of times, you know, when they hear it, you know, then all of a sudden we're back in each other's arms again, you know, and
right.
Here we go with another vicious cycle or maybe it renews. So, I mean, it's been a myriad of, you know, I've written so many songs that to answer your question, yeah, I've written those songs and sometimes we have reconciled, but more times it's really you have an open wound. And when I write, I don't write to write a hit. There's so many people, man, let's get together and write a hit.
Yeah,
that's like having a baby and saying you're going to be president and just giving that child so much pressure. I mean, you're just going to be, I mean, to be the number one in America, what's that? Okay,
right.
You're going to be, anybody can be, you know. So I don't put that much pressure. I sit down when I write with or without someone. It's a therapeutic thing sometimes, or it's an issue that I'm going through. And as I said, I'm no different than anybody. I'm no better, and there's nobody better than me. We're all the same. We're all God's child, and we're all having these same feelings. And so, therefore, when I write, you know, it's just, it comes from how I feel. And sometimes I can, you know, the wound is open, and I'm serious. By the time I'm done doing the song, I'm able to close the subject and move on. And now when I'm on stage and I'm singing it, I remember why I wrote it. And that's why I get a lot of people saying that I write or that I sing with passion. And I didn't know really that there was another way to sing. I just think it kind of should come straight from your heart and out your mouth.
Yeah.
And that's what people want to hear. And I'm people too. That's what I want to hear. So.
Exactly. That's what you want to hear. And you mentioned the song is healing you by writing it and getting it out. And the same thing for listeners. And you probably come across this. Maybe you can share a story or two of somebody who's heard one of your songs, Garrett, and, you know, it meant something to them. It hit them at just the right time.
Man, I'm telling you what, the most profound song was a song called In the Clouds. And really, I wish we would have chosen that one to play on this show. But In the Clouds, it talks about, and I just thought, how am I going to, and I just heard it from Jerry House, a radio personality that was here for years, and his sidekick said something about, oh, they was making fun, and he had an idea, and Jerry says, no, that's In the Clouds. Well, I thought, well, how could you, and I thought, In the Clouds. I never turned these guys off, and I shut them off at 10 o'clock after, or 10 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. And by 8:30, it was truly, it was written like by 8:26 or something. But I thought, how am I going to get the listener to look up In the Clouds? So I had this man and his little boy playing ball, and he hit a high pop fly. And the little boy looked up, and he dropped his glove, and he missed the catch, and looked up, Daddy, wow, looky there, I can see Mommy in the clouds. So he goes on to say, wow, does she see me? How is this? And they called everybody in this town, and they were all taking pictures of Mommy in the clouds. Well, what happened, literally about 2 years later, I had a friend, her friend that I had never met, had passed away at a very young age, 32 years old, from cancer. And so just to support my friend, who was going to her friend's funeral, I went there, and when they asked people if they wanted to get up and talk, people were saying this, and teachers and church people, and I'm seeing the father and the little boy up in the front pew, and just this song, it was just all that. And so I got up and I said, they didn't know me. This was out in, Chickenville, Tennessee. It was right in the middle of the sticks, and yeah, the awesome areas, where everybody knows. And I stood up, and I was just like, who is he? They were like, who is this long-haired hillbilly or hippie, And so, and I told him, I said, I'm sorry, I apologize for, I don't know this woman. I didn't know her at all. I said, but I am a songwriter, and it's not about the song, and it's not about me. This is about praising her. I said, so I'm a really emotional guy and very, very sensitive. And I mean, it was hard. I recited half and sang half of that song in front of that church. My friend was like, what are you doing? And I couldn't believe the whole time I'm thinking, should I do this? Should I do this? No, no, yes, no, no, yes. And it's like at the very end, when they said, does anybody else have anything to say? It's like I was just yanked up by the back of my head, by my ears, get up there, boy. And I did. And I went through the whole song, and I looked at the father and the son through the whole thing. And man, I mean, that just, those kind of things. And it was just, I held the pen that wrote that song, but I swear it wasn't me. I mean, it just came out. How could I make up that story? And so, yeah, those there's a lot of songs that I write that people just can really relate to. And, real short, in the large scheme of things, anybody can write a song. And it's real quick. There's another song I wrote, and it was about a preacher that didn't show up for the service. And I was walking that evening, and I'm like, how can the preacher? So I made up this song. The preacher didn't show up for the service. They right. say he tied one on a little too tight. So the point being, the congregation went to his house, and they asked him, what's going on? And he said, I don't feel that I'm doing anything on earth, because everybody has and can share God's love. And so going back to being a songwriter, I don't think it's that great. Anybody can write a song. But when that song, so there's many times I've tried to leave music, but it won't leave me. But so the point being is, when I'm able to do things like what I did at that funeral, and there's quite a few people on the Facebook, the social media, and others, that some of my Let Us Pray has helped so many people. I've had a woman that's, Lois Goins, is not doing very well. she called me and asked me, would I sing that song at her funeral? So when that kind of stuff happens, man, it's like, okay, I think I heard my calling. I'm doing the right thing. So yeah, there's a lot of times that my songs mean something. And so,
man, that is amazing, Garrett. Just as you explained there, I mean, the power of a song and reaching someone at just the right time in their lives. I want to turn to one of your songs, which is a lovely song called All the Above. And I'm wondering what you can tell us about the writing and inspiration behind it.
It was about, a woman that I had left, but I missed her. We were together 3 or 4 years, which is quite a while for me, but nevertheless, we were together for 3 or 4 years. I'm joking. And I really loved her. And between the music business and it just didn't work out. So therefore, I left. And, when you're spending nights with your significant other and all of a sudden you're alone, do you miss them? Well, sure you miss them. Do you want them back? Well, it depends on what really happened. And so I never wanted to see her again, but I wish she would have knocked on the door at that very moment. And so, yeah, I had all these mixed emotions. And I got up that night and, do I love you? Do I hate you? Do I run for my life or do I ask you back tonight? Those are very real, real words. And a lot of, we all go through that. I mean, I know for a fact that everybody listening has been with somebody that they're no longer with, that they love so much to hate, but they love them and they want them back, but they just can't imagine ever seeing them again. So that's how the song came about. And it's really, I got it signed. It's one of the songs that is signed. And it's with a few major artists right now. And I'm signed with Joe Crow of Crow Entertainment. They've been on Music Row since the early 90s. She's one of the real ones left. I just love her to death. She's a hardworking little lady. But this is one of the songs that's really going right now.
Who would you like to see record this, Garrett? You've done it, and you've done a beautiful job on it, but you're talking about pitching it. Who do you see, who do you imagine recording this song?
Well, everybody reaches to the top. There's everybody saying, I want a song that Reba will do, or a song that, they get the best singer. But, I could hear, Rascal Flatts, I could hear that guy doing that,
Yeah.
But there's... I hear. I mean, it really. You'll find out during the course. There's a climax there. It really gets up there. So, whoever the singer is has to be able to hit that high note, and have that powerful of a voice for it to be conveyed the right way. But I don't really, man. When I write them, I just sing them and I move on to the next one. And I don't give that much thought. That's kind of the business part. I'll take the music part of the business and the business,
right.
I let Joe and whoever's pitching for me take the business side. And I just don't sit back and think of, because to be honest with you, I want to be the one to do it. I want the deal. But whatever it takes, I'd like to. Yeah, so if the skirt is too short, I'll wear it. So whatever.
Well, let's
share
the song now.
I haven't thought about who it would be. But, this could also be a female song. I mean, easily could be a female. I mean, it's a bi-gender song. So,
yep.
And there's a lot of young artists, but it's hard to sell to get a ballad cut these days. But this is really taking off, and it's getting a lot of attention.
Well, let's share it right now. My guest, Garrett Walker, he's joining me on the line from Nashville. This is that song we have been talking about. It's called All the Above on In the Country.
Do I love you? Do I
run for my life? Or do I ask you back tonight? Am I lonely? Am I happy? Or am I still in love? Hey girl, it's all the above.
What a great song, heartfelt song from my guest, Garrett Walker. That is called All the Above. Well done, Garrett. So well written. So many great lines, and it captures that part in us that times can be torn between loving someone and wanting to leave.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your compliment. And I felt that was, you know, do I love you, do I hate you? All the tie-in lines, is it over, is it beginning?
Yeah,
I think all the ingredients of a good song are in there, and you know I didn't mean to do that because that's just how I was feeling. So
right.
Yeah, I really like that, and it's really getting some good attention. And like I say, it's one of them that are signed and out there right now. I've got a few that In the Clouds is actually with Casey Musgraves.
Nice.
The first song that you played a part of, talking about the ball players and how they make so much money when teachers can't even afford to buy the shoes that are endorsed by these guys. That song is with Dirk Bentley. And I have a song
that's
called
amazing.
My Father's. Yeah. Then I've got a song that's by, that's about, it's called My Father's Gun. And it's getting a lot of attention. And actually, Curve Records has that song as we speak. And they haven't named an artist, but Mike Curb has that song right now. So I've got some really wonderful things going on, but it's it's still, you know, waiting for something to stick to the wall. So
that's what it's about, right? It's all that work and the years, and then one song comes along. I guess it's one song that makes that difference, heard by the right person, gets in the right hands. But aside from songs, performing, of course, is a big thing that you do. You're getting up performing your songs. Talk about some of the venues around Nashville, either for those who haven't been there or for those who know them well. Just some of your favorite places to play around in Nashville.
I really like, I mean, going downtown, I played Legends Corner for 2 or 3 years. I did the 11 o'clock a.m. till 2 o'clock in the afternoon for $10 and a sandwich and tips, and but 7 days a week.
Yep.
And that was for the tourists, and believe it or not, there was quite a few tourists around that, you know. Mondays and Tuesdays were kind of slow, but nevertheless, those and played Tootsies, Crossroads, the Turf back in the day before the Tornado, which is now Rippy's, the Music City Bar that was downtown, the Bar and Grill now that's out by Opryland, that's a different Music City. The lounge, but nevertheless, I played all those places, and there was so many tourists and kind of stuff. But, and I'll be honest with you, I really like to play the little honky tonks that are on the outlying, the outskirts of town, and little towns across the land. I played,
right,
you know, in a lot of different states. I've got some shows coming up in Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, and got something for going on with one of the smaller bars, not a casino, but out in Vegas. And so that's not going to be until probably the winter months, October, November, and on. But if I had my druthers, it would be to play the smaller places for the people that can't make it to the big places. You know, they either can't afford it, or they just live too far,
yep,
or that kind of thing. They're
I like that.
More real.
Yeah. Now, for those listening,
Garrett Stewart was like that. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, Garrett, for those listening, because I know people are thinking, how can we get Garrett's music? How can we find out where he's going to be playing? Where can people find you on the Internet? Where can they punch in and get updates on you and buy your music?
Of course, you know, the Facebooks. I have one Facebook that got the 5,000 limit, so I had to make another one. And I joke a lot on there, and I say a lot of prayer requests, and I kid around, but about, and I'm not one of these people that it's me. You know, I try to go to other people's page, and I welcome any other singer to put their music on my page. I try not to put mine on theirs. I think it's kind of like trying to sell a Burger King hamburger in the lobby of McDonald's. I don't think that's right, but I don't.
That's
I don't
a good way
it.
Of putting it.
But of course, yeah, you know, the social media, the Facebook, of course, but you can hear the music on the ReverbNation.com/ Garrett Walker. And if you want a CD, just get a hold of me right now. I have a lady, Nancy Shoemaker, that she handles all the T-shirts and the mailing out, and you can either send, you know, talk to her or myself, and I'll be sure to. I've got, I think, 3 or 4 packages I gotta get. I was supposed to get them out today, but I was preparing for this. But nevertheless, you can just get a hold of me and let me know, and I will definitely do whatever I can to get it to you.
That sounds good, Garrett. Now, I want to turn to a little bit of a clip. The same song that we started the show off with, a different part of the song. This is the song about ball players. And I'm going to let you, first of all, mention the title because it gets people's attention, but it's about ball players.
Yeah, the title is called Balls. And, you know, I was watching MTV Cribs, and I saw all these big, gigantic homes that was just, I couldn't believe that these homes that had pools inside and outside and a fleet of cars. And then they finally showed the owner, and it was some guy with droopy pants on, and all he did for a living was bounce a ball, or hit a ball, or catch a ball or throw a ball or drop a ball. And I think they really dropped the ball on that one. But I really feel that ball players, I think they ought to make $100 a game, and all the excess, all the money that are spent in concession and for the tickets, all that money should go to the little kids and the old people for medicine, for cancer research. And it's just, it's crazy that, you know, when these guys get to heaven, okay, God's going to say, well, what did you do to be worthy of heaven? Well, I threw a ball. They're full-grown men playing a game. I turned the channel to CNN, and I saw how this social worker got this little beautiful baby out of a drug-infested house and placed this child in a Christian country home. A Christian, not necessarily the country, but just a nice, good, loving Christian home. And that social worker probably makes $19,000 a year. This is 2013. That's a pittance. That's, you know, $8.50, yeah. $9 an hour. And teachers that are teaching our children, the American soldiers that are out there fighting, putting their life on the line right now as we speak, talking about songs, they don't make anything compared to these ball players. I just don't. And that's across the table. Any entertainment. I mean, singers also and actors, you know, all these actors that are in the $20 million club, they're living their life pretending. Their job is to pretend they're somebody else. I think, I just don't agree with it. And, you know, it's like Jerry House told me one time. I told him, I said, well, I'm just singing to the choir. Well, if you sing to the choir that long, they might learn a different tune. But the fact is, that's how that song came about. You know, would you buy 2 tickets to go watch some lady place a child in a safe, happy home? Well, no. You know, but you're going to pay all kinds of money to go watch some guy bounce a ball. And I just...
It's a beautiful message. And, you know, I'm going to share just a bit more of the song, Garrett. And anything more you wanted to add, but I want to get and share it a little more so people can hear just how great that song is.
Absolutely. Go ahead. It pretty much speaks for itself, you know. Tiger makes a ton for a hole in one, and but we got America's children fighting for our freedom. And so I think it's a very. The title is called Balls, and they wanted to change that because of the title, and it doesn't sound right, but that's what gets the attention. And once you hear the song, it is a very profound statement.
It is,
and I truly feel that. The world is for those ball players to make that kind of money. To make that kind of money is just I can't understand it. But nevertheless, that's how that song came about, and I truly believe in it. And it's another one that is signed.
We're going to hear about a minute or a little bit more of it right now. People can get a good feel for it. This is Garrett Walker and the Ball Player song. I'm going to call it that for now. What's the real title, Garrett?
Balls.
Here it is on In the Country.
Would you buy 2 tickets to go watch some lady place a child in a safe, happy home? The daughter of a mother, a drinker and a drugger, ought to be a reality show where the cost of admission would go. The profession of those who help save us all. Instead of the millions we give to the thousands of those who play with the balls. They kick them, they bounce them, they hit them, they miss them. They're making more money than God. While the men and the women, they're teaching our
and that is another sample of that great song from Garrett. Man, what a message in there. You really hit on something, not to use the pun, hit with that fittingly, but it's something that is so true.
You're a songwriter yourself, man. I can't wait to get that song, The Only Light in the Dark, that we wrote. I cannot wait to get it recorded, but every time I record, they pretty much dictate what I'm going to record. But nevertheless, what was your question again? I'm sorry, Dave.
No, not a problem at all. Just saying, you really tapped into something there, the message in that song and the contrast, as you said, between the heroes of the world who are just getting by and the people living glamorous lives, baseball players, golfers, part of that song. I think you've really hit on something people can relate to and understand.
Well, you know, not just ball players. I mean, it's the actors and the singers, you know, that are making just millions of dollars living these, and all they do is go out and sing a song. That's why everybody moves here, because everybody wants to be a singer, because they think, well, I can sing. Well, I'll tell you what, you know how to get a songwriter off your porch, you pay for the pizza. I mean, they're everywhere here because everybody thinks that it's an easy life, but like I say a lot of times, chasing my dream can be a nightmare. I mean, it's a tough go, because you got all these people. You got to understand, 40% of the whole population of Nashville is in the music business, and 80% of that 40% are people just like me, and all of us are applying for the same position. So the odds are stacked, but you have to. I totally feel, you know, there was a time, and I even wrote a song saying, you know, I don't write songs about tractors, but I took a stab at my truck. But the point being, I don't, you know, there was a time that I was writing what was on the radio, and I just thought, you know what, I'm not satisfied. It's hard to sign my name to these songs. If you just keep your head down, and I haven't made it. I just know from the people, you know, I'm good friends with, you know, I'm still friends with Merle and Charlie and quite a few of the others, and they've all told me, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't ever ask anybody what they think, unless there's somebody in the powers that be. You know, Vincent Van Gogh did not go around asking, what do you think about my painting? But how much are they worth now? And the point being, just you got to keep your head down and just stay true to your heart. And as long as the Lord is leading your way, and that's how I feel. That's how I approach my music. I'm doing my music the way I like it, and I hope you like it. If you don't, well, there's a knob on your radio. You can turn it. You know, and I'm sorry I didn't. You know, but nevertheless, that's how I feel about it.
Well, I want to ask you about cover songs. I mean, you're talking about the passion in your own songwriting and the songs you believe in, but when someone goes to see one of your shows there in Nashville, Garrett, what kind of covers can they expect? What are some of your favorites to do?
Today I Started Loving You Again.
Nice.
Just the story behind it is just awesome. I like Don Gibson and the Oh Lonesome Me, and that's really a sad song done in up-tempo.
That's right.
Some of the Alabama stuff, and Hank Jr. is an amazing writer. Shel Silverstein is an amazing writer. He's the queen of the Silver Dollar. Sylvia's mother. I tap into the stuff from America, from Crosby, Stills, Nash. Neil Young is actually, because, you know, a guitar being around my house all the time, it was like a piece of furniture. So I was just used to it, just sit over there in the corner. And, you know, they had band practice every Wednesday night, and you know, and I saw the drinking and just all the stuff that went with it. I'm like, yeah, that's what Dad does. I ain't gonna do that. But when I heard Neil Young sing "Old Man," I just had to learn that thing, and I just stayed true to how I felt about it. And my mama taught me three chords. I say this a lot. My mama taught me three chords, and it's been hell ever since. But she told me, you know, "Okie from Muskogee" was written with two chords. And she goes, you ought to try to learn that song. And me being 11, I'm also an artist, an illustrator, and designer, and a painter. And I'm a left-handed guy. So I guess just the creative mind, as soon as she said that, she goes, you ought to try to learn that song. I'm like, well, the time that it takes me to learn one, I could write one. So I've just been I've been writing. I never used to write. I never wrote poetry, and nothing against it.
Yeah.
You know, I never was that kind of a doodler, you know, that did that kind of stuff. But nothing, again, I mean, being a poet, I mean, songs are pretty much, you know, a musical version of a poem. But nevertheless, that's where I come from.
Well, let's turn back to some music here. We've got a little bit of time left for a song, and then we can wrap things up. But I want to hear the story behind If I Were Magic, another one of your songs here. Tell us about this one.
That was the first one that I wrote when I came to Nashville. And I was in a relationship with a young lady by the name of Bobby Perot, Ross Perot's niece. And, gosh, beautiful girl. But Charlie Daniels said, music called, and I told her, I left her. So when I got here, and I've been married before, and there was, you know, the young lady that I left back in Kansas, that's who I wish I would have said I do to. So, you know, and I was here, and she's 680 miles away, actually 687 miles away, and I just, God, if I was magic, you know, I'd be right there. And
wow.
that's just how it came to be, and it's one of the first ones that I just sit there, you know. I always say that, you know, a bad day is a good song, you know. And they say I got a lot of good songs, so go figure. So
you got a lot.
But anyway,
bad days.
That's how that song came about. Yeah.
Let's share it now. It's a great one. This is Garrett Walker, If I Were Magic, here on In the Country.
Fly away.
be right there.
And that is my guest, Garrett Walker, on the line from Nashville, where he performs, writes, and sings. That is called If I Were Magic. You can find him on Facebook, Reverb Nation, and you'll find some great music there. Garrett, we're all out of time, man. The hour has flown by. It's been a pleasure having you back on the show.
I'm so honored. People just really need to Google you and just listen to, just look at the lineup of people that you have interviewed, and now me. Is I'm just so grateful and so honored. We've known each other since the MySpace days, and I just love you, man. I just think you're wonderful. If I had more time, I'd promote you even more. I truly believe in you, and I'm just so grateful and honored to be a part of your show, man. Thank you so much. I just so appreciate this.
Well, you are so welcome, and it's great to chat and great to always be in touch online and share a joke or just to hear some new music and be in touch. And we'll continue to do that. And Garrett, thanks again so much. Have yourself a wonderful evening there in Nashville.
Thank you so much, Dave. God bless you, and I'm so grateful. You're awesome, and you're awesome.
Awesome, A-L-L-S-U-M, one of Garrett's favorite words. He's a lot of fun to follow on Facebook for sure. I'm Dave Woods. For more country music interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.